Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Marissa Price of the Literature Factory has been nominated for the 2019 Oz Mumpreneur Awards. These awards celebrate and recognise Australian mums in business, achieving outstanding success in areas such as business excellence, product development, customer service, and digital innovation. Marissa says it can be challenging to be a successful businesswoman whilst raising a family, and she gives this advice for others thinking about starting their own enterprise. Do your planning and research, but if it's something that you care deeply about, that passion will get you through the hard days. We only have one life. Why wait? Hi, Marissa. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to share your story again. We have spoken before on episode 60, so it's really exciting to see where you're up to now. So shall we get started?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. So do you want to tell us now what's actually happening for you right now? What's changed since the last time we've spoken to you?
Well, I've actually just been nominated for an award, which is surprising.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I didn't see it coming. So someone else nominated me for the Oz Mumpreneur Award, which spans there's a few categories in there, and they've nominated me for that. So, yeah, it's very exciting, and it's a very short time frame. So, you know, it's the finalists are announced on the 26th of July. So it's very soon.
Yeah. That is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, one of the categories was the Rising Star Award, which is for people in business 2 to 5 years. The second category was Queensland Business of the Year. And the third category was, I can't remember it now. That'd be right. No, I've lost it. The third category was in there, but none of them are. There's a one that you can have where you voted publicly, but I didn't have that one. I just went with the judge category. So we'll see how we go. And yeah,
nice.
You never know. So that's for the Literature Factory, which is the business that I run, and we do tutoring, and I've also published my books underneath the imprint of the Literature Factory. So, you know, it's good for that kind of approach and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. So last time we talked about the Literature Factory, you had about 2 to 3 tutors, and now you've told me that it's actually grown a lot in the last 12 months.
Yeah, it has. It has. So we're now up to 15 tutors. Which is great, and we tutor mostly in the northern Brisbane area, but we do also have clients from Southside and in the middle of Brisbane. So it's really interesting how people kind of get involved in it, and it's really word of mouth, and you know, organically grown, I suppose you could say. Mm-hmm. You know, we get these inquiries and sort of say, how did you hear of us? And there's always a backstory. So it's such and such told me about this and about that. And, you know, let me know that you do this and we wanted to bring you on board. So, yeah, it's nice that people like what you do enough to recommend it to somebody else.
Yeah, definitely. It's the best feeling, isn't it, having that word of mouth?
It is. It's really nice. It's a really nice feeling. So, yeah, it's I think it's more... Not valuable than advertising, because advertising is important too, and you know, it does what it needs to do, but you know, that word of mouth and having someone who said something really nice about you is it's good to hear.
Yeah,
that you're making a difference.
Yeah so true. So what about your books? I think we talked last time you were writing a series of books. Do you want to tell us a bit more about the books that you've been writing or researching?
Yeah, so I've got the series that I've been writing, which is Into the Abyss, and Vault of Verona and Scourge of Scotland are both published. So I've been doing some interviews around those, and and doing some workshops in the local libraries and things like that around independent publishing. I'm on the third one at the moment, which is Angst of Athens, but because they're in a YA category and they're quite light-hearted, and you kind of have to be in that sort of mood, I suppose, to write that kind of book. And something else has kind of caught my attention in the meantime. So Angst of Athens is still in production, but I've been researching this story at the moment. We had this piano that came to us from one of the private schools in Brisbane that my husband attended, and it made its way to us, and I worked there for a while, and they were getting rid of it, and it was out of tune, and it was going to cost more to tune it than it was to actually buy a new one. So they were like, "Oh well, it can go." And I was like, "No, I don't know how to piano," because it was originally in the house that still stands that was built in the 1860s on the property. So I said, "I'll take the piano. My husband will come and pick it up." And I hadn't asked him yet, but he did. I was like, "You're coming to pick it up," and so he did. And it's an original piano from the 1860s, and it was in this house. And it's been sitting there in my lounge room, and I've been looking at it and looking at it, and there's been something bubbling away in the back of my mind. And each time I look at it, it bubbles away again, and I've just kind of let it lurk there. And now it's kind of exploded into a full-blown story idea. So I've been spending a lot of time at the State Library of Queensland going through lots of documents, lots of family letters and things like that, going back and forth between family members who owned the house, to try and get an idea of who they were before I start writing the story. And they're a very old family in Brisbane, so they're still quite active, and they're it's to do the story justice, I think I need to understand the people who were involved and what they were like. But reading handwriting from the 1860s, it's an art in itself. I don't It's really, really hard to read. It's ridiculously hard to read. So I've been trying my best, but it's slow progress and slow going. So, I tend to fall asleep as well. Your eyes get tired, and then you go, "Oh, I'll just have a little nap." And before you know it, I'll just rest my eyes. And before you know it, it's 3 hours later. So, it's been interesting and it's been fun. So that one has really caught my attention, and it's something that I want to follow through. And I guess when you feel the bug to write something in particular, then you just do it, and you see where you end up.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. So, do you want to tell us a bit about your story, like how you actually got into what you do and, how you got into the writing?
Yeah, sure. I've just remembered too, the last category for that award is Women Who Will Change the World Award,
Oh,
which is,
nice.
I can't believe I forgot that one because that was my favorite.
Yeah.
I was just looking for it and going, "Oh, which one is it?" So that's really humbling. Getting into what I do, so I teach in a secondary school. I teach high schoolers, and I tutor primary to high school, so I have that spectrum of kids. And I originally got into writing because one of my kids gave me a little bit of sass, which I think I talked about in the last podcast. But it's a good story. And I was trying to teach her Romeo and Juliet, and they had to intervene in the story and change something. And I said, "Look, it's easy. You can do anything. You can change Romeo and make him different. You can change Juliet and make her different." And she said, "Oh, if it's so easy, you do it." So I did, and published a book. So thanks to that child who gave me some kickback on that assessment. It gave me an idea, and then it a bit like this story that I've got now. And it just the idea took hold, and the story just came out. It was something that I thought, "Oh, that's actually quite a good story." And then, I suppose as as a first time author, or, you know, someone who's, you know, written a long piece for the first time, there's always that element of doubt and that, you know, is this really good, or do I just think it's good because I wrote it, or, you know, what's going on here? And I gave it to a couple of people to read, and I said, you know, please be gentle, please be kind. If it's bad, tell me, because I'd like to know. And they really liked it. They loved it. So, you know, I went through querying agents and querying different publishing houses and things like that, and had some responses, which was good. Had an offer, but the offer that I had, when I started researching it, there's a couple of pitfalls with traditional publishing, and I wasn't too sure that I would be able to meet the benchmarks. So, you know, with traditional publishing, you have to earn out your advance, or you've signed away the book for however many years you've signed away for, and you can't do anything with it. So that concerned me a little bit, and I thought, oh, I don't know if I would, you know, meet that benchmark. And with marketing these days, whether you're independent or traditional, you still have to market, and I find that really difficult. So I thought, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. And then I started looking at independent publishing, and I ended up speaking by chance to this distributor, and the distributor said to me, you know, you can do it yourself. You can do all these things yourself. You can learn all of these skills. If you're good with a computer and a word processor, you can do anything. So I started looking at it and kept looking at it. And I thought, you know, if I do it this way, I have full control. You know, what happens to it is up to me. And I'm just happy for me to have published something that's out there in the world. That's a proud moment in itself. And not to have all of that anxiety attached to it of, okay, how many sales have we had this month? How many? It doesn't really bother me that much, I suppose, because I have my other work and I've got the business and stuff like that. So for me, writing is more of an outlet, and then being able to put it into a published book that I can hold in my hand is something that's a really incredible feeling. And I can't remember if I'd done this last year when we spoke, but I ended up publishing another author as well. So she's got a children's book, and it's a book series that deals with phonics. So the story's about these two chickens on a Queensland farm, and it's really, they get into all this trouble and have all these adventures. And throughout the book, so the book itself, the story I really loved, and I said to her, you know, why don't we build some phonics into here? So why don't we color code, or, you know, bold the phonics combination that we're looking at in this book? You know, so children who are reading, who are looking at blends and things like that, which are really hard, can be really hard to teach, especially for children with dyslexia. Why don't we have a look at that and see, you know, if we can do a series around that? So the next book will focus on a different blend sound. And she really loved that idea. So we went forward with that, and Chooks on a Mission was published. So
I loved it.
Yeah, her title's great. I loved it. So it's a really good idea, you know, and I work with kids who are dyslexic. So we chose a dyslexic-friendly font. That's really hard to say. Dyslexic-friendly font. So it's easier for children with dyslexia to read, and the words are quite large, and the pictures are really entertaining. So, you know, it is a children's book. It's designed for the younger kids, but I do still use it with older kids to point out, okay, you know, here we're looking at this. And, you know, it's one of those things where when you're working with kids who are behind in literacy, it can be really hard to find resources that are appropriate for their age. So it would be really, I'd really love to see, you know, some books come out that are appropriate to kids that are, you know, 8 to 12 that are experiencing difficulties with reading, but that are appropriate for their level. So if anyone's got that, feel free to contact me. you know, I'd be interested. So yeah, and it's really difficult when you do publish someone else to walk that line between being someone who's an independent publisher publishing someone else and being a hybrid publisher or a vanity publisher. So that the hybrids and the vanities, they're the kinds of publishers that you pay for their services and then you sort of don't have a promise of return. It's not like, you know, paying for editing and you get your editing back, and then you pay for your cover and you get your cover back, and you have full control. It's more, here's the story, and they won't do a great deal with it and they'll publish it. But what it means is that that story could have spelling errors throughout it. It could have grammatical errors. They won't correct a lot of that stuff, and then distributors won't touch it. So it's difficult being, you know, an independent publisher who does occasionally publish other authors, because you don't want to be seen as a vanity or a hybrid publisher. So that's been a bit tricky, but we've managed it, you know, throughout that process. And Nicole Benelli Madeley is the author who has brought Chooks on a Mission out. So it's her baby. And I guess, you know, it made me think of her when we were talking about holding the book in your hands, because I remember the video she sent me of the day that the first box of her books arrived and her daughter took it and she was so excited she couldn't talk. She, you know, she took it out and she was just, it's mine. It's, you know, it's my book. And that kind of excitement is why you do it, you know, and why you put things out there. So I suppose, you know, not everyone can be a best-selling author, but you do it because you love it. And even the best-selling authors would do it because they love it, yeah. I imagine.
No, I agree, because I think since the last time I spoke to you, I wrote a book and I put Yeah, and I put it out and independently published it. It's called Balance. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And it was just such a wonderful thing getting that book out there. And then when you get the book, as you say, holding it in your hand, it's just amazing. And then, you know, I got an award for it, a bronze medal award from the independent publishers, and it's just amazing. And it's such a wonderful feeling. So I agree with you with the whole publishing industry. There's traditional and there's independent. It's what works best for you and what you want to do. And I can get my book out there to people, and I just love that route. Yeah, so well done you going that
way. Absolutely. I mean, it's a hell of a lot more work. But, you know, it's worth it, because you've got so much control, and, you know, you can really choose what you do with it. And if, you know, you put it on the back burner for a little bit, you know, no one's chasing you going, you know, come on, what are you doing? It's just it's just you. It's just your stuff. So, well, congratulations on your award. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a wonderful time. I love it.
Yeah.
Because books are my passion as well. So I'm just, you know, I love talking to you about this. Because, and a lot of people out there, if they've got a book in them, I'd love them to feel inspired to do it, that they don't have to worry about the traditional route. There are other methods or other ways of doing it and getting their story out there, because it's so rewarding when you get that book.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's more and more of a trend towards the independent publishing road, and, you know, people being able to get stories out there that don't fit neatly into a category, that don't, you know, they're not horror for teenagers, they're not, you know, I suppose romance for adults, they're not, you can't pick just one category and go, yes, it absolutely belongs in there, because there's elements of it that don't.
Yeah.
And being an independent publisher means that you can go, okay, well, maybe I'll try, you know, putting it in the category of, you know, adult magical realism for a while and see how that goes. And, you know, there's so many different ways, and there's Amazon, and there's, you know, there's Ingram Spark and all sorts of different ways of doing it. And once you learn how to do it, it's so empowering too, because it's like a whole new skill set of being able to do things, and then teaching others how to do it. That's even better too.
Yeah.
You know, you can show them. And go, look, it's this easy. That's what you do. You press this button and off you go.
That's it.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. So I think last time we talked a bit about you had a big vision to get out there, but has it changed? Like, just tell us again, what's your vision, you know, for doing what you do?
So with the Literature Factory, the vision of what we'd like to do is we work with families who have children who for whatever reason have, you know, fallen through the cracks a little bit. They're below age in their ability. They might be failing something. They might just need a confidence boost as well. So we also work with kids who are doing really well, but they just seem to lack the confidence to really shine and show what they can do. So we work with those kids as well. And, you know, we sort of blend pastoral care in with academics. So the big picture is to be able to empower those children and those families to go, you know what, I can do this and I can do that. And I am fully capable of doing this, because it's a bit of a cruel world out there. You know, people are quick to rip others down, I guess, and they're quick to use a negative word rather than a positive. And what we try to do is reverse that. So there's some self-beliefs that are pretty common among a lot of the children we work with. And the biggest one we hear is, I'm just no good. I'm just not smart. Mm. And that can come from someone else telling them that. It can come from them observing that one child is, you know, on level 168, which is not a real thing, of readers, and they're still on 16, and, you know, they're comparing the two and going, well, we're the same age. Why can't I do the same thing? And celebrating the uniqueness of every individual and going, you know what, yeah, you're on level 16, but look at what you can do in maths. Mm. Look at your scientific knowledge. Look at your ability to care for people. You know, look at all of these things about you that are great, and celebrate those things. And then we just help you with, you know, the part that you need some help with. And empowering them in that way motivates them to then be able to move forward with something that they find difficult, because they, you know, they get that constant reminder of, yes, but this isn't everything. This is just one tiny part of what you're learning, or one tiny part of who you are. And we're going to work on that, and we'll get to where you want to go. So that's our sort of bigger picture. And all of the people who work with me, you know, they have the same vision. They have the same bigger picture, which is to empower children and empower families through education, particularly around literacy. But we also work in numeracy, and I've got some of my tutors who are really good with senior maths and science. They're really hard to come by. We've got a couple who are good with senior maths and science, and you know, they're just so good with these kids that, you know, you can still have a child in year 12 who doesn't believe in themselves, and they've gone that whole way through their schooling believing that they're just not as good as everybody else. That's really sad when you do come across that. And, you know, there's that element of it where sometimes you just need to debrief, and, you know, the tutors will call and go, oh, I had this session today and, you know, such and such said this and it just broke my heart. And, you know, then sort of resetting and balancing and going, you know, it's okay. It'll, you know, they'll get through this part, and so will you, and you're going to help them to get through this bit, and this is how we're going to do it. So, you know, that's the big picture. And, you know, being able to just spread that, I mean, it's spread organically on its own. And, you know, I think that's a good thing, because we've been able to keep up with the demand, and you have to have a bit of a special skill set to really have that picture and to have that passion. And you can sort of tell in the first 10 minutes of talking to someone whether they have that passion and drive, you know, or whether they're coming from a different place. So, you know, those people that come on board with the Literature Factory do share that same, I guess, drive and need to help kids. So, yeah, that's our overall big picture. And yeah, the books are thrown in amongst there, and, you know, there's the, I suppose that's my way of keeping myself grounded and, you know, having my own outlet for some of those feelings that do come up when you work with kids, you know, regularly, and you work with these kids that have these self-beliefs. And, you know, it's nice sometimes just to sit and write something that isn't dark, because my books aren't generally dark. And, you know, to be able to go, okay, well, what's the best part of humanity I can write about? And what's the best kind of role model I can create? And that, I suppose, comes out in my writing and in my characters. And I've got a lot of very strong female characters, which I think probably says a lot about me more than anything else. But, you know, it really is a pleasure to write them. And they're not ever really based on someone in particular, but there might be little bits and glimpses of people that I know and people in my life and qualities that I admire in them. And some of that, you know, is the kids I work with and that overcoming of adversity and, you know, those success moments where you go, oh, yes, you got it. You know, you've got it right. And the look on their face when they get it right is just priceless.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so awesome. Well, lots of things happening for you, and it's all very exciting for your future. I can see that. I can hear the passion in your voice for what you do. So congratulations on being awarded, or actually being nominated for these awards, the Oz Mumpreneur Awards, because it's just amazing. And I'm there for you. I'm crossing my fingers, and I know that you're well-deserved. So thank you so much for talking to me again. I'd love it if you could give our listeners the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there.
Yeah, absolutely. The Literature Factory, our website is probably the best way. So it's www.theliteraturefactory.com.au. And we're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter under the same. So just search for it and you can find us there. And I've got the author pages as well. So marissapriceauthor.com and the same on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, but I'm not that great with Twitter, so not very good at that one. So I interact more on Instagram, I suppose, than anything else. So yeah, we're always contactable, and all of the details are there on the Literature Factory website. So anyone who wants, you know, to chat about anything, or, you know, ask a question about independent publishing, they're more than welcome to.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Marissa.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me, Leanne.
Igniters, how cool is it for Marissa to be nominated for the 2019 Oz Mumpreneur Awards? I love her passion for empowering children through education. If you want to contact Marissa, go to her website www.theliteraturefactory.com.au or www.marissapriceauthor.com. For igniting that passion in your life and living your best days, go to my website www.leanneblaney.com.